Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas to all of you. As the ancient church started having evening services the night before, because under the lunar calendar, it is now Christmas Day. And that's why we have our services on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day as well. Because you can't have enough services to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Few nights offer such a sense of peace and tranquility to our life, right? As Christmas Eve. It really has those two extremes. It's either wonderfully peaceful or entirely insane, right? Especially though, it can be beautifully peaceful when you, well, as we'll do tonight as we conclude the service, singing Silent Night, and everybody kind of gets a little quieter. There in the pew, we wish that all nights might be, well, like that, with peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. Yet we're well aware, just outside the walls, and inside the walls too, for that matter, the church exists in a world that on a daily basis is filled with turmoil. Ours is a world not at peace since the fall. This is what feels natural, but is most foreign to all of us. However, each generation's hopes that this year the long hoped for peace will finally arrive. Those living now remember cataclysmic wars that engulfed our world. If you're, well, in the 80s or older, you remember the horrible wars, that the bombs that bombed the fields of Europe and killed millions. Over 80 years ago, and now again so recently, as we have Russia fighting, and then East and Southeast Asia ravaged by war on frozen hills and steaming jungles. Or to dry deserts and wastelands in the Middle East, to terrorist bombings in countless cities the world over, to civil wars and ethnic strife, to daily shootings in our communities, peace must seem like a rare commodity for which we are to hope. Yet tonight we hear of peace, a unique, real, and lasting peace, a peace that God announces not just with a chorus of a few weak and hesitant voices, but with a multitude of the heavenly hosts, gushing in a thundering chorus of praise. Heaven burst in celebration. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased. In the midst of a world so often marred by violence, hardship, hatred, a multitude of angelic messengers breaks into the night to announce a living hope. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased. What is this peace that the angels announce with such fanfare in a world still convulsed in war and bloodshed and violence? And how does such peace grant us hope when mankind still seems bent on self-destruction and our own hearts feel unrest and a unrelenting anxiety? All of the treaties and efforts to stop the turmoil on this planet will, given time, fail. Moments of seething tranquility will surface only to descend into the chaos of human sin and brokenness once again. All the counselors in the world can bring years of expertise and words of comfort, but deep down in the hearts, something will always be missing. The peace the angels so boldly announced this night is different. It is enduring. It is powerful. It does not depend on us. It does not require our efforts. For at the center of our problem, we ourselves are at war with God. We rebel and fight against His will. This is what leads Paul to say, the good that I would, I do not do, and that which I do not want to do, I just keep on doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. If God does not bring His peace, we are all doomed. We have no hope. Yet this very night, He does indeed bring peace, real peace, by sending His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Christ. God comes into the world in our human flesh to take our place, to suffer for us, for what we rightly deserve, to die our death, to heal our broken relationship with God. Yes, He is just a tiny newborn infant at this moment. And it is easy to miss the significance of this day. And that is why the angels come forth in such grand formation with an overwhelming song of thundering praise straight out of heaven's glory. This night marks then ground zero of eternal peace, the eternal peace plan. It starts here, in this place, this time, at this very moment. Hope is resurrected. But just how might this hope be raised in such a dramatic way? St. Paul clears it up a little bit. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has declared us holy, who by faith are in Christ, clothed in His righteousness. As Paul goes on to declare, through Him, that is Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5. You see, this peace of restored relationship with God, the real and only true peace, is a divine gift that leads directly to a new hope. And not just any hope, but a hope of the glory of God. A hope that extends all the way past the tomb and to eternity. Many who want peace don't understand where real peace comes from, and therefore despair when it fails to come. They go looking for it everywhere, and it leads to depression and to loss. They think they will see it realized in the next political party or political treaty, the end of the last war or conflict, the right conditions in their own personal lives. They finally got everything together. Now it's all going to be smooth sailing. Oh, what a wicked theology of glory that is. But Paul said that the peace of God is ultimately beyond our understanding. At least in the purely human sense. A mystery of sorts, but not an unknowable mystery. For Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." True peace, therefore, comes only from Jesus, not from governments, not from other people, certainly not from drugs, not from a sense of calm and tranquility, which is only temporary. It comes only in the one person, the incarnate person, our Lord God, Jesus the Christ, the only begotten of the Father. So here, in that simple manger, surrounded by animals and a poor and almost obscure couple, the heart of true peace lies. Here in a helpless little child, visited that night of his birth only by the often despised shepherds who were keeping watch over the sheep. Now, I know this has led to some theologians arguing that Jesus was born actually in the summer because they were keeping watch over the sheep outside. We don't know Jesus' exact birthday. We do know by the second century that the church was already celebrating the Annunciation to Mary by March 25th, and you go 9 months later, and that's December 25th. That's how it ends up on December 25th. It's that simple. The early church didn't celebrate births, they celebrated new births of our deaths. But these shepherds, you see, who are keeping watch at night, are doing a special task. And so they would have been out there every night, no matter the weather. Because the sheep kept in Bethlehem were the sacrificial sheep for the temple in Israel. And those sheep were not allowed to be penned. They had to be loose. They had to be free. So they had to have shepherds watching them. And so these angels come not to priests, not to rabbis or dignitaries, but to these lowly shepherds who are simply doing the task of making sure that the old covenant could be kept. That these animals whose blood would be sacrificed for the sins of the people on Passover could be continued. It really is a beautiful picture when you think about it. Because when the angels come to them, the shepherds do what? They leave the old and they go to the new. They leave that which foreshadowed and went to that which fulfilled. They left the blood of lambs that cannot get rid of our sins and go to the Lamb of God who does. And they praise the newborn king and they tell all. They share of the wonderful joy that is given them that night, the message of the angels with all who will listen. So they come and visit this little one who bears the amazing royal titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the ruler who brings peace. He is the power that makes it real. But how can we realize this peace in our broken world? How can we possibly hope to find it in our often confused and anxious minds? This holy night's special charm will only last so long. In a few moments, we'll sing All Is Calm as we sing Silent Night. We will be interrupted soon enough. But the author of Silent Night, he knew in this beloved lyric, knew that this calm was more than just a soothing song or a comforting lullaby. Sleep in heavenly peace. He calls for the sleep of peace in the holy infant, so tender and mild. Where we find the holy infant, we find our peace. Each service as we gather for worship, we are again led to the manger, led to the one who brings peace, led to the one who creates peace, led to the one who gives peace. As a pastor, I and Pastor Rafa get to say this lovely, lovely thing. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I cry out with you, Amen. We repeat, the pastor repeats again at the altar table of the sacrament, peace in the life-giving presence of Christ. A body broken in death on our behalf. Holy blood shed as the payment for our sins. Eaten and drunk, eternalized. Christ with us. Truly He is our Emmanuel. God with us. Peace again restored. Peace again assured. Who would expect a multitude of angels to announce peace to a bunch of shepherds keeping watch over a flock by night? Yet when the multitude of God's messengers emerge from their heaven's glory into the darkness of the night, you'll pay attention. They do not speak often, but when they do, you're going to listen. You're going to listen carefully, very carefully. And now we sing their hymn in our own worship. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth, as we sang in the Gloria today, that's now returned to us as Advent has ended and Christmas has come. We sing with joy and hope because moments before we heard our Lord declares us forgiven. We cried out for mercy and received God's care and concern. He was with us. He is with us. He heard our cries even before we spoke them. We have hope now. We sing a song only angels could sing, a song of peace, a song of hope, a song that joins our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is well pleased. For a moment again, we are on the borderline of heaven. We stand on the verge, the very edge between heaven and earth, between our temporal struggles and our eternal peace, between the now and the not yet. Soon, soon, we too will be there. When? Only the Lord knows. For peace, though, has come, and you can have it. Not knowing what tomorrow brings, you have peace because it has been brought. Peace has come in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In His precious name, we most definitely will say tonight, Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen.